soon became wrapped up in going to the library and hitting the microfilm, and it's been a real fun time. So I'm sitting here with Mel Harder, a pitcher and coach for the Cleveland Indians and others, this second day of July 1996 in Mel Harder's home here in Chardon, Ohio. Mel, you were born in 1909, and you were born in Oklahoma or Kansas, Midwest somewhere?
No, I was born in Beaver, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Beaver, Nebraska is about 100 miles north of Omaha. And, my mother and dad moved to Omaha when I was 2 years old. And see, he was a carpenter and part farmer up there in Beaver, and they decided to go to Omaha to get a better working setup. And I was 2 years old when we moved to Omaha.
Did that work out for your dad then? Did you stay then in Omaha for quite a while?
He got a job right away with the Omaha Power Company as a machinist. And he stayed there until the day he died.
Now, did your mom ever work outside the home, or was she busy taking care of you?
My mother was strictly homebody. She took care of everything.
Now, did you have brothers and sisters then?
I had two sisters. Tennis was the older one, and B was the younger one. And Tennis was about 5 years older than me, and B was about 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get started playing baseball then in Omaha?
Well, of course, I grew up in Omaha in grade school and high school, and I played baseball from the day when I was about 5, 6 years old. We, on Saturdays, we used to get together and play baseball for a couple hours every mm-hmm. Saturday. And then in school, I lived only about 8 blocks from school in grade school, and we'd all hurry home and have a quick lunch and then hurry back to school, and then we'd have a ball game between at lunchtime.
Huh.
And we'd always get maybe in a half hour playing a game out there, and then the bell would ring and we all have to go in school.
Oh, what
that's
a
how I really started to play baseball.
Well, that's neat. Now, did you, as you got older and into your teens, were you strictly a pitcher, or did you play other positions as well?
I was pitcher mostly, and then when I didn't pitch, I might play center field. And that's the only time I ever would play on the outfield is when I didn't pitch. And that was on the church team that I was on. But the other teams, I never did anything but pitch. I went through the church league there for 1 year, and then I went to high school, and I played high school baseball. We won the championship the year I pitched, and I went through the season without losing a game, and the team did too. And that's how in high school, I pitched a couple of years in high school, and that's how the Class A amateur team in Omaha, Carter Lakes Club, found out about me, and the manager invited me down for a tryout, and I went down, and I went down to throw form down there, and then they said, well, come on back, and we'll start you a game. So I came back, and they started me a game. I lost the first one I pitched. Then the next six or seven games I pitched, I won them all.
Oh, wow.
And I got by strictly on the sinker, which I had from the time I started playing baseball. I had a good sinker. I didn't know I had it at the beginning, but I had learned later that that's what got the hitters out.
Uh-huh. Oh, what was the name of your high school?
Omaha Technical High.
Omaha Tech.
I was in there 4 years.
Now, you had this phenomenal sinker just sort of naturally then.
That's what I got by. I didn't have any curveballs because nobody taught me how to throw a curveball. And finally, when I was down with Carl Lake Club, the Class A, they showed me how to throw a curveball, but it was a terrible curveball. But I got the hitters out mostly on my sinker. I didn't realize what it was doing. Nobody ever told me.
Yeah. Now, then that started encouraging you to start thinking of baseball as a career then?
No, I never thought about professional ball at all. When I was with the Carter Lake Club in the Class A in Omaha, the owner of the Omaha Baseball Club in the Western League heard about me and called me after the season was over and wanted to know whether I'd be interested in going to spring training with him the next year, which would be 1927. And I said, well, yes, I am, but I'd have to talk to my mother and dad. As soon as I talked to my mother and dad about it, they said, no, you cannot go. Because when you're out of high school, you're going to go to work. Pay the bills. So that's how it went for a couple of months, and finally my mother and dad, they gave in and said, gave me their permission to go to spring training at home.
What was the argument that finally turned the tide?
Well, not too much. We talked about professional baseball a little, but not too much, and I think that they talked it over, the two of them talked it over, and they realized how bad I wanted to go, and so they gave in and gave me the permission to go.
Well, that's great. Just want to make sure that we're getting what we should here. We're in good shape. So off you went to Omaha first in the minor leagues.
Omaha. I went to spring training with him, and we had training down in Yoakum, Texas. Yoakum, Texas is a small railroad town about 50 miles west of Houston. And it was really a thrill for me to be in training with a ball club, professional ball club.
Right.
And our training was mostly, we played amongst the players on the ball club to get working, and then we played a few exhibition games with the Texas League clubs down there. And that's the first game I think I ever pitched in professional baseball was the exhibition game in Waco, Texas. And I pitched three innings and I shut them out three innings.
All right.
So I made a good impression right away with a manager on the Omaha ball club. And after that, he started using me a little more. And when the spring training was over, they decided to take me back to Omaha. And I stayed with Omaha for a few weeks after the season started, and then they sent me over to Dubuque, Iowa to get more baseball playing and experience.
Do you remember who signed you? The person who signed you?
Oh, Barney Birch was his name. He was the owner of the ball club. Barney Birch.
Barney Birch. And did he give you a signing bonus of any kind, or?
No.
Do you remember your first salary?
$250 is what I signed for, and then after the season started, they made it $275.
Hey, that was pretty good money in those days
for
a young ball player.
5 months, though,
Yeah.
Which makes a difference.
But for 5 months, you were living high off the hog, I'd imagine. do you remember any of the other players on your minor league teams? Anybody who ever made it to the majors?
Red Harville, who played center field for Omaha. made it to Cleveland. In 1928 and 29, he played there, and then he went back to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And I just can't remember some of the players. Red Harbaugh always comes to my mind because he eventually ended up with Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I was, of course, I went to Cleveland in 28, so
right.
I always think about him first.
Yeah. Now, I came across two nicknames that were given to you. One was Chief. Did that start after you arrived at the Indians or before?
No, they started to call me Chief after I joined the Indians. And they didn't start calling me Chief until I started playing, pitching regular, which was in 30, and I became one of the leading pitchers on the ball club, so the press just tacked that name of Chief on me.
Well, now that brings me to the other nickname, which was Wimpy. How did you get that?
Wimpy was a cartoon right. character. And he always had his hair hanging down the middle of his forehead. And I had this colic, and when I worked out a lot of times, and I didn't wear a baseball cap, when my hair would fall down right in the middle of my forehead, just like Wimpy. And the players on the ball club tacked that name of Wimpy on me because it was a very popular comic.
Well, how about that?
It didn't stay with me too long, though. It's kind of...
Yeah, we're glad.
Well, it only lasted for maybe a few months, so the players got away from it.
Well, that's to their credit. Now, you came up to the major leagues in 1928. How did that happen? What were the circumstances? When did you get the call?
I got the call in Omaha in 1927. But when I went over to Dubuque, Iowa, in the Mississippi Valley League, I was over there. It was a non-option league, and all the ball clubs had to own their own ball players to stay on the ball club. Well, Barney Birch sent me over there, but he kept me on record with Omaha. And I was still owned by Omaha, but all of them I went to Dubuque. I suppose I won't be owned by Dubuque. Well, the opposing ball clubs found out that about after 2 months there, I won 15 games in 2 months, so they started checking. They found out that Omaha still owned me, and then they had a big meeting, and they voted to throw out all my 15 victories and put Dubuque back about in third place. We were on top at that time.
Yeah.
So I went back to Omaha. That was around the 1st of July, and I finished the season in Omaha. While I was out in Omaha, the White Sox and the Cardinals and the Indians started to watch me with their scouts. They sent the scouts out there and followed every game I pitched for a few weeks. And evidently, the Cardinals and the White Sox didn't offer enough money, but Cleveland offered $6,550, I think it was. And at first they wanted $10,000. Omaha wanted $10,000, so Cleveland came down to $6,550. Just kind of split the difference.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up in Cleveland. Cleveland bought me, and it was around September 1st. And then I joined the Indians in New Orleans in 1928 in spring training.
Now, what was New Orleans like in those days?
Well, it was a pretty wild town. but I really enjoyed it down there. It was hot and muggy all the time, but it was a good place to train. It was probably my favorite place to train. But it was a
You get any mischief while you were there?
Well, little, but not much. But it was a town I liked to be, have a lot of fun. It still is.
Yeah.
We happened to be down there during 5 Mardi Gras, so we got to see those.
Wow.
And they go crazy in Mardi Gras.
They still do.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember the first game that you appeared in the major leagues?
Yeah, I do. We were playing the St. Louis against the St. Louis Browns. And Willis Hunt, this is at the beginning of the season, our first trip to the St. Louis. Willis Hudlin started the game, and the Browns knocked him out in the 4th inning. And Roger Peckinpah put me in to relieve Willis Hudlin. And I pitched 3 shutout innings against the Browns. And then they changed pitchers after I was in there. So I got by pretty good my first 3 innings, and I convinced Roger Peckinpah that I could get some of the major leaguers out.
Great.
And so we came back to Cleveland, and we opened with the Tigers. Detroit Tigers came to Cleveland, and the second game of this of the series, Peckinpah put me in the 9th inning, and I got out of the 9th inning all right, but I opened the 10th inning, and I walked a man. He stole second, and then I tried to pick him off second base, and I threw wild, and I threw the ball in. I threw the ball in the center field, and that's how they won in the 10th inning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how were you treated by your teammates as a rookie?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Most of them are all really nice fellows, and they respected the fact that I was only 18 years old. I got by pretty good, and some of the players helped me, but most of them, they didn't bother with the younger players
yeah.
in those years. We didn't have any pitching coaches or anything. The only instructions or help that I got was from the regular coaches.
Was
Howard Shanks,